Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Techno Electric & Engineering Limited, hosted by Asian Markets Securities Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. Actual results may differ from such expectations, projections, etc., whether expressed or implied. Participants are requested to exercise caution while referring to such statements and remarks. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kamlesh Kotak from Asian Markets Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Michelle. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Asian Markets, we welcome you all to the 1Q FY23 earnings conference call of Techno Electric & Engineering Company Limited. We have with us today Mr. P.P. Guptaji, Managing Director representing the company. I would request Mr. Guptaji to take us through the 1Q financial results and the business highlights, and then we'll begin the Q&A session. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Kamlesh. My apologies for being delayed by about 5 minutes. Good afternoon to all of you, gentlemen and ladies, to join to discuss our financial results for the first quarter ending 30th June 2022. Anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future or that would be construed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in connection with the risks that company or industry faces. Let me highlight our performance, which is on expected lines. The total revenue for Q1 is around 173 crore. Revenue from EPC business is 142 crore. Hello?
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Sir, I have a request.
There seems to be some echo. Is it good?
Mr. Guptaji, I would request you to come closer to the speakerphone and speak, please.
Okay. Is it okay now?
Yes, sir. Sir, please proceed.
Yeah. Thank you. The total revenue in this Q1 stands at 173 crore approximately, which includes revenue from EPC around 142 crore and from the wind segment around 31 crore. The EBITDA for the company stands at around 48 crore. The operating profit for EPC segment is at around 21.25 crore. We experienced some pressures in the EBITDA margin due to high commodity cycle prices and also higher overseas rates. The other income is at around 13 crore. The profit before tax is at around 50 crore, and PAT is at around 36 crore, which is closer to March last quarter. The EPS is at 3.27. The current investment value in cash and cash equivalents stands at around 1,200 crore, which is about 100 rupees per share. The significant achievement in this quarter is that we got business worth almost 1,900 crore, which is the highest record in last four years, as recorded by the company. The unexecuted order book as on 30th June is at 3,214 crore. As committed in last quarter, we have been, this is on the outlook side, we have been able to tide over the difficult times and achieve some growth last year, and we foresee significant growth for the coming years, which begins with the current year. We primarily in the second half, we expect that growth momentum to continue for financial year 23, 24 and 25 also. We expect large business out of the FGD segment, AMI segment, and data centers, and the transmission business will continue to be as usual. In the coming years, we expect strong power sector reforms as power and energy converge. Additionally, there is significant focus and stress on availability and reliability of power supply, the cost of power, and improvement of overall financial health of the sector is a key focus of the government. While renewable power will continue to be in focus and related infrastructure, there is significant focus on getting reform in the distribution segment. The transmission infrastructure for renewable power, including existing capacity, is required for 500 gigawatts by 2030. Additionally, 25 gigawatts of energy storage solution are planned to be developed over the next 5 years. The FGD segment will continue to be in focus as per government notification. All coal fired stations need to limit their sulfur emission as notified by Pollution Department by December 2024. There is a considerable progress in CPSU in ordering the projects for implementing these solutions, but the same will be now happening with SCBs and private sector. The order dated April 1, 21 of the Ministry of Environment says that plants near populous regions and the capital towns will have to comply by 2022, while utilities in less polluting areas may go up to 2025. But I expect that this may be extended by 2 years. The Supreme Court also refused to entertain the Delhi government's petition seeking direction to test allegedly polluting coal based thermal plants in Uttar Pradesh, Punjab, and Haryana to immediately stop operation till FGD technology installed to reduce harmful emissions. We have got orders worth 1450 crores for FGD in this quarter. This level of business will continue for next 3-4 years. As 80 gigawatt is yet to be ordered by CPSUs, SCBs, and private sector. Transmission sector. We largely expect that there will be a status quo in the transmission side, though we are witnessing an upswing in the ordering of transmission infrastructure over the past couple of months. TBCB bidding for the last lot of 60 gigawatts of renewable power out of 175 gigawatt has started. Base for bidding has been extended since last year. We plan to bid for projects worth about 1500 crore. Allocation for strengthening of power system has been doubled to almost 30 billion in union budget for 22-23 and from rupees 14.55 billion in the last budget 21-22. We have seen good interest from large investors in which funds to participate in our bids by making our company a significant partner. This will enhance our access to capital that will help us in bidding projects more competitively. Meeting segment in distribution, AMI. On the distribution side, we see a lot of activity happening going forward, particularly in case of the automatic smart meters. We are witnessing focus on strengthening of power distribution networks to make them smarter, stronger, and intelligent. The main aim of the government is to improve efficiency, contain losses, so that the health of the DISCOMs could be improved. The government on 8th August 22 tabled the electricity amendment bill in the Lok Sabha, a long-awaited event. The government wants to give consumers a choice of multiple power suppliers, as in case with mobile, with internet services, apart from making provisions for timely and adequate tariff provisions. The Bill 6 to amend Section 42 of the Electricity Act to facilitate non-discriminatory open access to the distribution network of a distribution license. It also seeks to amend Section 14 of the Act to facilitate uses of distribution networks by all licensees under provisions of non-discriminatory open access with the objective of enabling competition, enhancing efficiency of distribution licensees by improving and also improving services and to the consumers and also ensuring sustainability. It also seeks to amend Section 62 of the Act to make provisions which graded revision in tariff over a year, besides mandatory fixing of maximum ceiling and minimum tariff by the appropriate commission. It provides for amending Section 166 to strengthen functions that will be discharged by the respective regulators, that is, CRC versus the CRCs. The bill also seeks to amend Section 146 to convert the rate of punishment from imprisonment or fine to fine. The bill, so as labeled, will also amend Section 152 to facilitate decriminalization of offences, and it would be mandatory to accept a copy. We are very hopeful that power sector is at a very critical juncture, and something good should happen going forward. Which segment? We have taken generic resolution to sell a part of the wind assets other than required for our own data center. We have 129 megawatt in three pockets, 60.9 megawatt in Tirunelveli, 51 megawatt in Coimbatore, that is Madhyampati, and 18 megawatt in Karnataka. In view of the present challenges prevailing in power sector due to coal shortage, we are having good offers for our wind power assets from the local industries for captive power use. In view of this, it is considered prudent to sell a part of the capacity as feasible in the present situation. The total requirement of power for data center is 36 megawatts and complementing capacity of wind energy will be transferred to a wholly owned SPV to acquire CGB status for supplying to power data center next year by June 23 when it gets ready. Data centers. COVID-19 has affected our life in multiple ways, but one positive outcome of this is the growth in the digital space. With the growth in digital space, from data privatization, it is expected that the third-party data center industry will grow significantly from the current level of 500 megawatt to 2 megawatt in the next 3 years, and at least to 5 megawatt by 2030. Till date, most of the data centers are located in Mumbai, and now Chennai is catching up. Airtel, Adani, or Equinix, or STT are already in the process of setting up data center at SIPCOT IT Park now, Chennai, further validating our choice of location. Tecno is also in the advanced stage of setting up of a data center of 24 megawatt of IT load of ultra-scalable, hyper-density nature. We have acquired the land for the project and received the all statutory approvals for construction, and we have achieved significant progress on construction. The building's foundations are nearly ready now, and we are at first floor and expect the building superstructure to be completed by end of this year. We are hopeful of commissioning the project by June 23. Additionally, we will consume renewable power from the operational wind energy capacity to classify the data center as green, which aligns with the policy of major hyperscale customers like Google, Microsoft, or Amazon because of their ESG commitments. Furthermore, we are seeing aggressive interest from strategic partners from USA and Singapore, and also private equity firms who entered into a joint venture for developing data centers in India. We are evaluating the available options and shall conclude on a way forward soon. With capex of rupees 1300 CR, that is around 45 CR per megawatt, 60 to 65% capex is involved in electromechanical ones, which is our in-house expertise, and we'll be able to leverage on the same for executing the works. With in-house renewable energy, EPC capabilities, and prior experience of developing infrastructure projects, we are in better position in compared to the industry. With this, I invite questions if, from the from our respective investors. You are welcome, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sandeep Tulsian from GM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, very good afternoon, Pari.
Good afternoon, Sandeep.
Very fine. I have a couple of questions. Firstly, on the overall order book, I think we announced that the order book is now 3,200 crores, which is very heartening. And you have booked orders of 1,900 crores. So just wanted more details. As you mentioned, there are two FGD orders over here that you have won worth 1450 crores. If you can share more details of who are the clients over here, what is the size of each order in terms of rupees crore and in megawatt. If you can give those details and the other large orders that you won, which is part of this 1900 crore inflow.
Yeah, are you complete or may I participate now?
No, sir, please, I think that's the first question. I'll follow up with other questions after this.
Yeah, we are doing two FGD solutions, one for Jalawar projects at Rajasthan and another at Kota. The Jalawar is 2 into 600 megawatts set each, supercritical. And the order value is around...
I'm sorry to interrupt, Gupta ji, sir. Sir, your audio is not that clear, sir.
Okay.
Sir, I would request you to come closer to the speaker.
Yeah, I've taken the handset in my hand now.
Thank you so much, sir. Proceed now.
Yeah. There are two stations for which FGD order is received. One is Jalawar and another is Kota from Rajasthan. Kota is 3 into 200 megawatts at each or 250, you can say, per se. And Jalawar is 2 into 600 megawatt, likely.
Mm-hmm.
And Jalawar order is worth about 750 CR, and Kota is about 700 CR. So both put together is 1450. Another order we have received is from Power Grid for 300 CR for their transmission works in the state of South for Tuticorin and another in Rajasthan. So these are the key order achievements in this quarter, and one is from Chhattisgarh. We are going to do a 400 kV station for 150 CR approximately there. So this altogether is around 1900 CR in this quarter. So we are seeing good traction starting from previous quarter to this quarter now. And most of these are new businesses as happening. So obviously they take some time for completion of engineering, ordering, and they well fell in time-wise also, I will say, as the commodity cycle is cooling down, getting more affordable. So we prefer to use this quarter in closing out most of the old obligations which got spilled over from the last quarter. So we must have closed no less than 12 projects and realized final dues. Our receivables are all-time low now, almost around 130 CR, and creditors are also almost below 300 now in that sense. So a lot of clean slate we are beginning going forward, and we see a great growth happening in Q3, Q4 this year, and we maintain our target of top line. But first two quarters will be like of last year, maybe a little better here and there.
So, referring to your press release that you have put on BSE, I think we've announced orders of 680 crores, but there's an announcement for this balance 1450 crores that you have mentioned. I just want to understand, these orders are still in L1 stage or are they confirmed?
No. So they are confirmed. 14. These are all confirmed, received, and advances are in process, not to be received shortly. I think, I don't know what is, we have filed. If you go to our exchange site, you may find all the details to my mind. Maybe the exchanges in their transmission may not be showing the whole of it. But if you go to the site of the exchange, you will find the whole details, sir.
Understood. And so this 1450 crores of FGD plus 680 crores, what you have announced on transmission side, adds up to 2130 crores, but you are stating in the quarter that is 1900. So the difference of 230 crores or 250 crores, is it post 30th June, or like how do we add up that difference?
No. We have only said in this quarter it is 1901 CR. Comprising basically three clients, Power Grid, Rajasthan, and Chhattisgarh. And the breakup is 1450 from Rajasthan, 300 from Power Grid, and 145 from Chhattisgarh.
Okay.
So maybe some confusion over the rollover of last quarter business, which was also again another 5-600 CR. In last quarter.
That 230 crores would have got booked in the last quarter. Understood.
Yeah, absolutely.
So secondly, I heard you say that you are maintaining your revenue guidance for this year for FY23. So that growth expectation is still at 30% for the EPC segment and margins in that 12.5 to 13.5% range?
Absolutely right. We will, top line will grow by 20-25%. Without considering data center top line, let me be clear. You see, so far we have not decided in which year we will take our own development revenue. Maybe we spill over to next year, or we may book in the last quarter this year. But without data center, we are targeting for third customer business a growth of about 20% over last year. So that will be around 1250 CR to 1300 CR.
Okay. And the margins is same because you've done better in first quarter, but
we are hopeful to improve. First quarter, you see, is an issue where not much procurement was involved, to be honest, because there were last leg works left in the projects. And then you get some kind of PV revenue also in this quarter, in this closing of the projects. So it is all hybrid, I will say, in a sense. So actually in our business, to be honest, the quarter on quarter makes a little sense, because if you truly ask me as a person experienced in this segment, I will say project specific return is more important than quarter on quarter per se.
Right.
But nevertheless, we have to perform this role, and at times which quarter is hit by what, we never know. But we intentionally, strategically also wanted to play this role, when the high commodity cycle impact is bare, so that we don't make any high cost commitments and find a opportune time to move forward in booking new supplies or new engagements. So it is all a blended solution, I would say, sir. Yeah,
so that is POC completion revenue on the chip. So this, on the order inflow guidance for this year, in the past call you had guided, say, somewhere around 3,500 to 4,000 crores of inflows you should be able to get. Because 3,000 crores you mentioned is already booked or L1, and some more orders can come in. So what is your guidance refreshed, which you think surely you will be able to book in financial year 23? And also all these orders which you won of 1,900 crores, of course, they would have won after some negotiation over the last 2-3 quarters. So do you see margins for these orders should be in line with your company level margins, or should they be higher, lower? If you can give some perspective on that.
No, in line with the, I'll say, the company guidance of 13%, which we have given. But we'll try to improve on it. Let me say that, number one. And on honor, I maintain the guidance that we will attempt to book orders worth 3,000 crore this year, plus so another 1,000 to 1,500 CR further orders should flow in over next 3 quarters. Where we are L1, or we intend pushing our presence in this segment. But most heartening part now is that my dream of Electricity Act getting through and creating vibes in the sector is going to happen. So that's going to be a long-term driver, which happened in 2003-04 when the Electricity Act was enacted. So exactly down 20 years, we are again getting into that opportunity, I'll say.
Understood. So I have a couple of questions on data center, if I may. Firstly, on this Chennai data center, if you can guide us how much capex, because this guidance or the path that you had guided to investors on getting the technical partner on board and getting the construction kick started, it seems to be a little bit delayed than what the initial time frame was, although you are still maintaining you will commission by June of next year. So how much money you will be spending over there in this financial year? Do you still think you will have the partner in place by, say, September quarter or December quarter? What are the timelines and what should expect out of this?
You see, the phase one of this project, which we intend commissioning by June 23, is around 550 CRs in total out of the whole project capex. Mm-hmm. By now, we have spent about 100 CR already. So you can say it will be another 100 CR per each quarter in next 2 quarters. And balance 250 CR will happen in the 200 CR in the last quarter of January-March. But we have some term sheets on board where we have a non-disclosure agreement, so I cannot share with you. Hopefully that should also get finalized by September. We have interest from very reputed global entities, I can say that much.
Understood. And the revenue booking which you had guided will start from financial year 24. So what kind of revenues should start coming in from the first year on this one? For the second part?
Firstly, gradually all the other, it's a four-phase divided center, each of 6 megawatts IT load. And each quarter thereafter, we'll be completing one phase of the project so that the total station is commissioned no later than March 24 in totality, or earlier depending on the how our partner is able to get it engaged or find a tenant to it. So you can say that other than the power revenue, which I will like to keep outside. Generally, the rentals which go in the segment is around $100 per kVA, plus minus per month. So you can calculate that way, and it will be achieved accordingly.
Understood. And last question, sir, I have on the balance sheet side. You did highlight the cash and investments are 1,200 crores. But on the receivable side, just want to understand, is there any pending which is left from the McLeod and the other slow-moving receivables? What we had anything pending, or those real estate companies where we had given some ICDs? Anything is pending over there? And on this wind assets you mentioned, other than that 36,000, you will be liquidating. So what should we assume, will it be in line with that 5 crores per megawatt kind of a deal value, what all the transactions you have done, or has it improved, or has it gone down where the market is in terms of your expectations? It's been given some broad guidance, not exact number, but a broad guidance for that.
You see, firstly, when I say 36 megawatt, I always mean like a demand load, and which will also be growing in segments as we commission. And this 36 megawatt is required when full station is commissioned between you and me. When we have complete 24 IT load on the station, then we will be needing 36 to 40 megawatt, which is equivalent to around, 80-85 megawatt of the wind power capacity as a CUF comparison on like-to-like. So we will be targeting first to sell out around 40 to 50 megawatt of the wind power assets, bringing down our capacity to around 80-85 megawatt or little more, and that kind of MOUs we have already entered into, and price realized will range between 4 to 4.5 crore, not 5, I will say. But definitely whatever power we are able to put to our own captive use, that will be more valuable. But going forward, as if Electricity Act happens and openness as happens, we do see some kind of more competitiveness in the power rates in the market.
And on the receivable parts, both McLeod ICD side and the Tamil Nadu, the SCB side, any slow-moving receivables out of this 130 crore?
No, in Tamil Nadu, now the bills are in process, and we are hopeful of getting payment something in this month and something next month by virtue of our High Court interventions also. And government is also facilitating payments from DISCOMs. But definitely, Tenjatco is a bit of a concern which has remained over the past. But we are able to make our presence felt now, number one. As far as ICD is concerned, we have cleaned up our balance sheet already fully. And all the amounts more or less stands realized. So there are no more outstandings. But you can say claims of a certain kind of penal interest or legal expenses still stands outstanding with McLeod, where we hold their post-dated checks. And in due course, we may be getting it.
So what is the total amount, all of this?
I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Tulsia. I would request you to rejoin the queue, please, as there are other participants who are waiting for their turn. Thank you.
Sure.
The next question is from the line of Dipesh Agarwal from UTI AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. My first question is, if we see during the quarter, there seems to be some slowdown in the EPC revenues. So what has impacted the execution? I understand there is a seasonality, but even comparing with the past trend, there is a weakness. So any specific reason?
Firstly, if you understand our sector little more closely, sir, I will not say it is a slowdown. Actually, project is always a 2 to 3 year cycle to deliver fully. And any new business takes some time in terms of the documentation, engineering, approvals, collaborative, before it becomes revenue oriented. It is all, generally around 6 to 8 months. And it is always productive between 8th to 20th month, and then it starts tapering down towards the closing part. So this revenue streams per projects are always a cycle, I will say. This quarter, I will say that it is the most productive quarter for the company. May not be as numbers, but in terms of the managing the working capital and other related risks, commercial risk and all that, because closing a contract is more important in our business than begging a order first. That must also be appreciated. So we have significantly brought down our receivables, closed no less than 12 projects to the analyzed all their dues, paid off the creditors. So it's a lot of cleaning, you know, which always should happen in our type of firms before you start again getting into the new commitments. So now we are getting into a new cycle, and Q3, Q4 will catch up, you know, whatever we have lost in Q1, Q2 in the process. Because almost 3,000 crore worth is a new business with us, or even 2,700, you may say, in last quarter and this quarter. So all this will be productive in Q3, Q4 now, and onwards thereafter. So it is not a slowdown, but I will say that it is wrapping up of the leftover jobs, works, businesses, payments, realization of bank guarantees, claims, dues, and whatever you say, it's a more hard work. In our business, begging a business is simpler than closing a business, with no claims on either side. So this has been a very, very productive quarter for us.
Understood, sir. But sir, one clarification, this Bhuj transmission line is not included in the 1900 crores inflow which you mentioned, right?
Bhuj line, we don't do line work, sir.
No, sir, in the press release which you gave last week, you won some work on the Kevra Bhuj line of some 233 crores. So that is not included, right?
That is that we booked in last quarter, sir. That is from Adani, Khavda and Bhuj.
Okay, that is already
65. Yeah, it was already backed in March quarter, sir.
Understood. And sir, what is the execution timeline of our other book? So do you think the guidance of say 20% plus growth this year can also be replicated next year based on the current order book plus expected inflow?
It has to, sir. I have no choice. I have to come, if I have to complete a project in time, generally you can say as a thumb norm, year on year we must achieve top line which is 50% of the order backlog with us. So if order backlog is presently at 3,200, so, in truly speaking, I should have achieved 1600 CR this year, where we are targeting only 1250 CR now, this year. So that 350 CR impact will be visible next year, and with the growth in further order book. So next year has to be 1500-1600 CR in any way. And as I have already told you, and lastly in March quarter results, that we are definitely going to double up our top line by the year 25, sir.
Okay, sir. Okay. Given that we have got these orders more in the FGD segment, wherein we have seen a lot of competitors struggling on the profitability, do you expect any kind of a dilution in the profitability on the new orders?
Not at all, sir, because those who are suffering in FGD, they were the start. They all happened when they booked orders 2-3 years back, and they all got delayed and affected by the commodity cycle also. And even otherwise, the prices at which they backed the business was very low. As if you did see a report on it, if you are tracking it, initially, these packages were all going at 35-40 CR per megawatt. which today has come to almost 1 CR per megawatt, close to that. Like our quota station is 750 megawatt only, and order value is almost about 720 CR. So as you go along, you know, you are able to price it closer to the market realities, and also these orders are protected by PV clauses in additionally.
Understood. Sir, what would be the EPC portion of the data center revenue which will be booking this year? Because if you are doing much of data center capex this year, then there would be equivalent or at least some 60-70% of EPC revenue also getting booked, right?
No, we are not intending to book this year, sir. We will basically be carrying it as a work in progress only. And maybe taking care, we'll take a call in the last quarter or next year. Additionally, whatever the numbers I'm talking to you at the moment is mostly EPC business of third parties.
Understood. Sir, what is our cash balance right now and the current investment number?
1200 CR.
Okay, 1200 CR. And what is the outstanding on the bill?
Pardon?
Outstanding receivables on bill?
About 130 CR as a running account bills and another 200 CR as a retention money, which is yet not due.
Okay. And sir, any other slow-moving receivables?
Wind power, we have to receive about 150 to 170 CR, which we are expecting to be liquidated this year.
Okay. Understood. Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Charanjit Singh from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes. Yeah. How are you, sir?
Good, sir. Good. Sir, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first question is regarding these new FGD orders. Can you please help us understand the payment terms? Are they better than what we have seen in the previous orders, or how are the payment terms for these orders?
They are relatively better, but not as good as we experienced in transmission projects. Like Bokaro, we picked up with a retention of almost 30%, which is 15% in this case now. So it is 85-15 by and large, you can say. But planned properly, we'll make sure that it is like 90-10 only, as we experience in normal business. Because staggered commissioning is feasible in these projects also, sub-facility wise. So you are entitled to get some payments progressively like that.
And sir, what is the expected completion timeline for these two projects?
These projects each is 30 months as per the order. But we try to do it early.
Yeah, but you talked about, you know, there has been some delays in terms of FGD, you know, overall implementation, and there might be some push out on the, you know, timelines from the ministry side. So does that, you know, also apply to these customers, and they may, you know, look to delay the execution, and that also, you know, leads to sometimes increase in the cost?
No, you see, whatever station gets ordered out, they are equally keen to complete it early, because they can claim to be the compliance part. And I'm sure Rajasthan government will be very supportive to achieve it before 24 April, May, because that is their election year also, by and large. So they will like to be pro and pro climate change and pro compliance to the all the regulators. So customer is well supporting this project, and we don't expect any kind of delay happening in this.
Okay. Sir, you also talked about this electricity amendment bill, and, you know, a lot of positives which can come out of this. And as we are focusing also on the distribution side of the business, can you touch upon, you know, what kind of an opportunity it can open up for us, and, you know, which segments within that we would like to target?
You see, basically, it will be a expeditious execution of the AMI solutions. And also, they have come out with a scheme called RDSS, Reform and System Strengthening Scheme of the distribution systems. So all these augment huge investment of 3 trillion, they call it CR, over the next 5 years. That is a program of the government has announced. It is available on the MOP website. And states have already started coming out with tenders in this segment, as it happened in 04 to 08, when first time APDRP solutions, followed with rural electrification programs, all were rolled out in the country. Similarly, now in the next phase, we see that a lot of distribution system strengthening and reforms will be integral part of it. And we are regularly part of it, this business. We did a lot of jobs in Bihar, Assam, in J&K, and many, many other parts of India. Presently also, we are doing similar works for the city of Jammu and Srinagar. So I will say that there are great opportunities countrywide. We don't intend doing much in this segment. We'll be happy to pitch in only 1% of the market, which may be around 3,000 CR out of 3 trillion budget of the government, spread over next 4 or 5 years. And transmission will obviously continue to provide us 500 to 650 CR per year, apart from FGD and metering solutions. So once data center business becomes part of your top line in 23-24 and 24-25, we are sure to double up our top line.
Okay. So the other thing is, you have talked about, you know, 1,000 to 1,500 crores of incremental order inflow. If you can touch upon, you know, the nature of these orders, what you intend to, you know, pick up in the, you know, remaining part of this financial year?
Yeah, basically we are looking for one more FGD order down the line, about 500 CR plus minus. Plus we are eyeing another transmission business of another 300-400 CR. And another 500-600 CR will be eyeing from the distribution business, including AMI, I will say. Very easily. A mix may change here and there, but by and large, this will be the segmentation in this. And we may also be taking opportunity to have one TVCP project also for us, worth 4-500 CR to be implemented over the next 2 years.
Okay, sir. So lastly, on the power transmission side, you know, if you can touch upon the opportunity size, whether, you know, we can see a further increase or it may remain stable levels, how you are seeing that outlook, you know, going forward on the power transmission specifically? That's my last question.
Power sector is in transient, sir, and nobody can give you very perfect answers. Whatever we experienced over last 2 years, if you project that forward, I will say that transmission business will be a status quo for us. But if this Electricity Act stands approved by September also, then from 23-24 onwards, I see a lot more activities happening in transmission, because the pockets of demand and the pockets of generation have to be married more efficiently than being presently done by the distributed players like CPSU or SC, private players or state governments. So a lot of harmony will happen, you know, as a supply chain amendment and achieving economics of the supply chain by strengthening those transmission links with generation closer to the demand pockets and generating pockets, which is not the cause presently. A lot of power is being cycled in a cross-wheeling manner merely to meet quotas or allocations or prior PPAs, whatever you call it. So it is still not a free market per se. It is still a, you know, market based on bondages, historically, as we have evolved in power sector. So all those attempts will be to minimize the inefficiencies, improve the quality of the networks, more efficient and strengthen networks so that technical losses are brought to the bare minimum, and also networks capable to ensure least thefts or no thefts on the highways. So I see multiple technological growth, network growth. Well, I'm very upbeat if it happens. That's what I can say.
Great, sir. That's all from my side. Thanks for taking my questions. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinod from Bank of Baroda. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Actually, my question also was similar to what Charanjit asked just now, you know, in terms of the specific areas where you can see a large capex as per the new bill. So I think since you answered that comprehensively, what I would like to understand is your thoughts. There is a lot of protest against this Electricity Act bill. So how do you see the final shape of the bill? Do you see a more diluted version that might possibly come in? Or do you think they'll be able to push through the bill the way it is today?
Sir, I'm not neither a power minister nor the finance minister of this country. What is happening today, in my perspective, should have happened 10 years back, if you ask me. We prefer to go for UDA 1, 2, 3, 4, but every time we saw sunset only. You see, the question is, you have to bring the market reforms to a sector like telecom, aviation, ports, highways, which never happened in power, sir. That is the key question. Whether, when will consumer benefit? Whether I generate and supply power and do 1.5 rupee or 4 rupee in my house or your house, power comes ultimately at 9-10 rupee only. So no citizen ever have asked this question in this country. Where is this 6 rupee going, sir? Who steals this 6 rupee on the way, on the highway? So that is the key question, which any sector has to answer. Like telecom, I can talk for hours with you, sir. In 95, maybe you, how old you are, I don't know. In my heydays, I remember, sir, we used to pay 30 rupee a minute, used to have lightning call, tatkal call, wait for hours for call to happen, connection to be given in my house, and what not. So, and where we are now, you can see, voice is free. Now, whatever you pay is one data. Smartphone is so smart. It is so efficient. So that kind of technology intervention happens in market only when there is a competition, there is a market reforms, everybody wants to smartly serve the consumers better than the others. That never happened in power sector. It remained a pseudo competition by and large. So if true competition happens at the last mile delivery of power to the consumers, and B2C segment becomes stronger than B2B, as experienced till now, you will see it will grow like telecom, sir, or like aviation. You will have so many choices. And so many, if somebody wants a renewable powers, why I have to buy a conventional power jar? I must enjoy. I should have a segmentation tomorrow. I want only solar power, sir. I want only hydropower in my house. Why not? All those solutions are feasible, and your smart meters will be able to tell you also how you consume power, what is the pattern of consumption of power, how you, from where power is coming, and what is the cycle, hourly cycle of consumption of power in your house. So many things have yet to happen in power, sir. We still take it for granted that, oh, power is available, it's coming, and nobody cares other than availability.
Telecom and aviation, they're probably centrally controlled. Power, I think, being a concurrent subject, is, I think, where the roadblock is always there. Because we see numerous reforms which start with good intent, but they never see the light of the day.
Sir, my takeaway is, I think these are stupid excuses. Ultimately, power is now becoming energy. And the whole world knows how to manage energy. Energy can never be a subject of a state. Let's be clear, sir. Number one, it is beyond their capabilities. They are not capable to manage energy. Let me say, historically, yes, they had a role. They have been part of this segment. But now with technology interventions, when all of us are coming out of the coal combustion cycles, going more and more to renewables, climate change, and more new sources of energy and power, more electric vehicles, electric engines, drives. So you have to understand that unless a bureaucratic, administratively, politically influenced DISCOMs cannot be technology-based solutions in the country at the end of the day. They are outdated. They are done with. Sooner this realization happens with the government, better it is for the people and the country, sir. I will say that. So central government has to have political will to dominate this transformation. And they have plenty of ways to achieve it, sir. But ultimately, you are right. I will say that this sector has become more a part of freebies today than a part of progressive development. So let's hope for the best.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, first question on this current FGD orders, which you said that we have booked at 1 crore per megawatt. So, like earlier, players might have lost money because they would have come at low price. And on the flip side, had to face the brunt of high commodity price. But with commodity prices now cooling off, do you envisage some sort of a super profitability on the current orders that we have achieved? Or we will have to pass it on? And to that extent, 13% looks to be on the lower side given the equation of raw material versus price that we have got. So that is question number one, sir.
Look, these are speculative, I will say. At the moment, I will only say that we are protected as far as the future commodity cycles are concerned. Whether and any declining, our experience of last 30 years in this industry, sir, any softening of prices of commodities always benefits EPC. In some way or the other, even if I am sharing the decline with the buyer through a PV formula. So I will say that we are definitely not going to worsen from what we have talked. If at all, it will be better only. But whether commodity cycle will really soften more aggressively, so there are all type of global calls. If tomorrow Taiwan, China goes to war, or Russia further becomes more aggressive in taking away part of hived off countries around it. Global situation is very, very delicate at the moment. So I'll not like to hedge on it. And secondly, you see, most of the electrical commodities are also becoming part of the new generation solutions, like transformers. We used to use CRGO if you were connected with the industry. Now we tend to produce more CRNO, not GO, because NO is more valuable and it is a part of the batteries used in EV vehicles. So some segment can always pay better price than the traditional, you know, equipment. So we have to keep our fingers crossed. Hopefully,
do you book any forward contracts on the raw material side to protect us or to enjoy the better margins?
So generally, our requirements are not much. Number one, because they come through the equipment itself. We are not a commodity company by and large. Steel, there is no forward markets even today between you and me. But non-ferrous metals, you do have forward contracts. But our most of the consumption happens in the form of equipment with us, like transformers, switch gears, or cables. So they themselves, each manufacturer takes care of it in his own merit.
Understood. Secondly, sir, now 1,900 crores of orders have been booked. But in this 45 days after 30th June, there is no order booking. Is that a right assumption?
I will say that we are definitely bidding and we are L1 in one or two tenders. We can only claim when we have orders in hand with us, because generally we have not claimed like that. But tendering is happening. I can only share with you that tendering is happening. A lot of business has back. Business is back.
You were L1 in these two orders, right? So similarly, what will be the L1 amount as of now?
About 750 crores.
So that most likely will come to us.
Should, if ultimately these kind of price levels are acceptable to the customer, and many customers finding that commodity prices are cycling, getting better, they may prefer to have some kind of snap bidding. That is also becoming a way of life with Power Grid now, that they are opting for snap bidding
and
in between.
Sir, on the DC side, why are we taking so much of discussion as to when the revenue should be booked? Ideally, if the EPC work is currently going on and the contract is awarded to the parent, then the parent should book DC revenues as per the schedule of construction.
Look, there is no fine answer to this, your question, sir. When we do a third-party contract, you go through the whole servicing of the contract and managing it from the ground to finishing. Whereas in DC, you are more of a developer in this, and many services are outsourced by you. Many companies do it in the past, but we are conservative in this regard, I will say. We don't want to overshow the performance which we have yet not, put efforts strongly in it, or revenue is not visible. We like to book that revenue closer to the CapEx, closer to the revenue happening between you and me. That is the only takeaway.
Understood, sir. Sir, on your cash side, now you are already literally floating in the cash. You have 1,200 crores. You are also going to sell a major chunk of your wind power assets, which will further give you 300-400 crores or whatever, maybe 200-250 crores. In addition to that, we are also generating significant amount of interest income. So, sir, what is the solution to the cash that we have? Because even in the DC business, you know, A, there is a debt to equity. B, we are looking for a partner, so again our equity contribution would be pretty less. And C, we are pretty conservative in terms of how we are building it out so as to not affect the overall performance of the company. So given these, things, where is the cash going to be used, and this 1,000 crore odd cash will always remain with the company. So what is the solution for this excess cash that we have? Should we not give it out, or are there any other thought process around this area? Because this is just too much of cash which is going to remain with you for the foreseeable future.
Look, we have talked this in the last meet. Probably you may not be there. Wherein we very clearly categorize that around 500 CR we are returning to the investors over next 3 years. One buyback is already in process now, where we are paying out almost 160 CR inclusive of tax. Additionally, we are paying out about 25 CR of dividend. So over 3 years, we intend returning 500 CR to the investors, number one, sir. We have kept another 5 to 700 CR for our data center business and another 250 CR for growth in EPC business. So it is fairly balanced approach, and if this Electricity Act gets approved, then more and more EPC business will transform itself to the capex-based business, where you will only be called upon to make a solution like Europe, commissioned, performing, and then only an asset owner will buy it. So a lot of cash requirement will be there as a way of life. And we hate debt, sir, because we have no place to bear the cost of the debt in our business, in EPC business at least. And that is what is our focus, that I must close my contracts, I must realize my last mile payments, so that our face and expenses are fully funded by the closing of the contract, which we did in this quarter and last quarter, that we have realized a lot of cash, closed many contracts, and we are again back to the new business in EPC with clean slate. That is where Techno has always kept the cycle going for last 10 years. And yes, I'm not the largest, but I can assure you technologically and working capital management will be one of the most efficient ones.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best for the coming quarters.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amber Singhania from Nippon India AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir.
Welcome, Amber.
So just a couple of clarification wanted to check. On the revenue side, you mentioned that a lot of projects were under completion, and that is why the supply content was less, and that is why the revenue number is looking slightly lower. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, you are not very wrong, I say. Services content is larger because whatever number we put it, it is a composite of supply cum services. So in cost side, services is almost 50% in that.
Okay. And secondly, sir, out of the total order book, 3,200 odd crore currently which we have, roughly what kind of proportion is yet to be start or in the very early stage of starting?
Right.
What could be that proportion, sir?
Almost 80% of the business is new with us, sir, which we have booked in last quarter and this quarter now. And the revenue accrue will start from Q3 of this year and continue for next 6 quarters, you can take it. Those will be the peak quarters, starting from Q3 of 22, ending with the Q4 of 24, by and large, out of this business. And then it will start again tapering in 24-25. Unless we have a new business accrued by the close of 23, which we hope to.
And out of the total FGD orders, roughly what kind of booking we might have already done, sir, from the old projects of FGD?
Presently, we have an unexecuted FGD business of, you can say, around this other than 1455 as a new business, the unexecuted of DVC is around 68 CR, sir. So you can add 68 CR to this, which will be around 15-20 CR.
Got it. And lastly, sir, on the wind side, you mentioned that this 25 megawatt equivalent to 85 megawatt of capacity will be transferred to a separate company, which is located to the data center. What is the timeline we are seeing to do that transfer, and are we already have we started the process of cancelling the PPA on that account, or till when we will see the Tamil Nadu will keep on receiving the supply from our end in that case?
Sir, we will this transfer will start from October, because we don't want to lose out on the peak season presently as happening. It continues. Wind is a seasonal industry, which is almost there till mid-October, and thereafter till March it is a slack period. So we will start it around October mid and complete it by March end, so that this peak season is fully built out to the government only.
Okay. So this year it will be basically government billing, and next year onward it
will be... But we are selling off around 40 megawatt now to third parties, which contracts are nearly concluded, and we expect to be out of that capex.
Okay. And at what price this separate SPV will sell the power to data centers? Any that's kind of ballpark numbers on that line? How that agreement will be worked out?
Sir, it will be on the obviously tariff of the market, determined tariff only, dynamic tariff only, which itself is under dynamically changing. If this Electricity Act goes through and open access in renewable power becomes a way of life, then tariff is likely to be lower than the generally DISCOM determined tariffs. And if all tariffs are alike, there may be consumption. Otherwise, we will like to transfer power to the data center at the market determined rate or at the DISCOM regulatory approved tariff, whichever is highest.
This SPV will be 100% owned by Techno, or there will be stake coming in from data center or any other strategic investor?
So it will be jointly owned, you know, presently in our country, sir, we have to give a group captive status. A group captive status necessitates that 26% of the equity must be owned by the buying entity. It means data center company has to buy 26% equity of the power company. And balance 74 will remain with Techno only. But the capital side will keep very low, so that there is no larger engagement of the data center company in the capital side. It is generally the arrangements are, it will be kind of a deposit which any electricity board takes to supply power of a month to 2 months as a security deposit. So that will be taken in the form of the equity.
Okay. So there won't be any money inflow majorly to Techno if we are transferring 26% stake to the joint venture, or it will be...
Yeah, there won't be any inflow, sir, but at least we won't have in future power dues from the state discounts. My revenue side will improve month on month.
Okay. And lastly, sir, how much total equity you are planning to infuse in this Chennai data center of 24 megawatt all put together from the Techno side? Is there any cap or any ballpark number which we have kept in mind beyond which... we will not go and wait for the strategy investor to come in?
No, you see, we are going in four phases in this project. The first phase is, each phase is 6 megawatt. The first phase capex is 550 CR. And we will definitely be not envisaging to invest more than 150 to 200 CR as a capital. And when a partner joins and full capital of the SPV will be around 450 to 500 CR. So generally these foreigners look for a little majority. So it will be either a kind of a 51-49 or maybe 55-45. So it means techno engagement will never exceed 200 CR in one data center like Chennai. But we will be starting with data centers in other pockets also, where again development cost will continuously be engaged. So we have definitely allocated around 500 CR for this business spread over next 3 to 4 years.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side. Thanks a lot and all the best for your future.
Thank you. As that was the last question for today, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Guptaji for closing comments.
Yeah.
Sir, any closing comments from
your
end?
Yeah. Thank you all. I'll say thanks a lot once again for joining the conference call with us. We, with the best of our ability, have tried to satisfy most of you, and those who still have more queries on our performance or on any of information, they are most welcome to send us a mail and we'll be prompt to attend, and it can be addressed to Mr. Vishal Jain, our IR person. And if you happen to be this side of the country, you are most welcome to visit us and see how we do our work hands-on. It will be our pleasure to take you around our office. Or any project site you want to see, please just write us. We'll be happy to arrange that. With this, I would like to close the conference and thank everybody once again for joining this.
Thank you. On behalf of Asian Market Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.